Sunday, February 2nd, Feast of the Presentation of the Lord. First reading from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Thus says the Lord God, Lo, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. And suddenly there will come to the temple the Lord whom you seek, and the messenger of the covenant whom you desire. Yes, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who will endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like the refiner's fire, or like the fuller's lye. He will sit refining and purifying silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, refining them like gold or like silver, that they may offer due sacrifice to the Lord. Then the sacrifice of Judah and Jerusalem will please the Lord, as in the days of old, as in years gone by. Haydock Commentary. Lo, I am sending my messenger, that is, John the Baptist, the messenger of God and forerunner of Christ. His purity and office procure him this title. Afterwards Christ himself shall come for the ruin and for the resurrection of many. Hence threats and promises are intermixed. The ancient Jews were convinced that the Messiah would come to the temple of Zerubbabel and be its chief glory, see Haggai 2:8. Their descendants put off the coming for some long time, though the prophet says presently or on a sudden. Some take this temple to be the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. For he is like the refiner's fire or like the fuller's lye, because Christ purified the religion of the Jews. The people would not obey, yet he established his church in all purity. The sacrifice will please the Lord as in years gone by. This is why in the Mass we beg that God would receive the sacrifice as he received the presence of Abel. The second reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Since the children share in blood and flesh, Jesus likewise shared in them, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who, through fear of death, had been subject to slavery all their life. Surely he did not help angels, but rather the descendants of Abraham. Therefore he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every way, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest before God to expiate the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested through what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. Haydock Commentary. The devil, by exciting men to sin, made them liable to a temporal and eternal death. He was, therefore, the prince of death, both as to soul and body. Jesus Christ, the life and source of life, has by his death destroyed sin and vanquished the devil. He has at once triumphed over the prince of death and death itself, and by the assurance which he has given us of eternal life, has delivered us from the terrible apprehensions of dying. To a good Christian, death is the termination of misery and the beginning of eternal happiness. Why, therefore, should we be afraid to die? We ought rather, with St. Paul, to say, I desire to be dissolved and to be with Christ. The Gospel from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel. The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Haydock Commentary. The Blessed Virgin Mother stood not in need of this ceremony of purification, to which she submitted herself, as her son did to that of circumcision. Whence St. Lawrence Justinian in his Sermon on the Purification very well observes, "Grace raised the Virgin above the law, humility subjected her to it." Jesus Christ, in subjecting himself to the law of Moses, has left an example to princes and magistrates to obey their own laws, for then they may expect them to be observed by others, when themselves show respect to them. The offering of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons was the offering of the poorer classes. The consolation here expected by Holy Simeon was the coming of the Messiah and the consequent redemption of mankind from sin and the devil, not a redemption only, as some carnal Jews thought, from the power of temporal enemies. These supposed the Messiah was to come in order to raise them in power above all nations, to whom before his coming they had been subject. Christ came for the redemption and salvation of all men, but Simeon prophesies what would happen in consequence of the willful blindness and obstinacy of many. Not that God sent his Son for the fall of any man, but that many by their own perverseness in willfully refusing to receive and obey him would take occasion of falling. The sign which shall be contradicted signifies that Christ and his doctrine should be, as it were, a mark against whom the Jews would discharge the arrows and darts of their malice. Hence St. Paul in 2 Corinthians 2:16 says, "We are to one the odor of death unto death, but to the other the odor of life unto life." The words of Simeon of a sword piercing the Blessed Mother's heart figuratively express the grief of the Blessed Virgin Mother when present at the death of her son. Dennis the Carthusian and Jansenius explain this passage as follows. "Behold, this child is placed for a sign that shall be contradicted, which as a sword of most poignant grief will pierce thy soul, O Virgin. But Christ shall be contradicted, that the thoughts of the Jews may be revealed from many hearts, and it may appear who among them are good, and who are wicked and hypocrites." The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom. The Arian heretics from this pretend to prove that Christ was not truly God, who cannot advance or increase in wisdom. The true meaning is that Jesus, as he advanced in age as man, gave greater marks of his divine wisdom, and showed himself full of knowledge, wisdom, etc.